It's 7:43. I'm Teresa Wills. On this West Virginia morning, protests against police killing unarmed black Americans continue across West Virginia.
I'm out here marching for the future. I want to make sure that my kids don't turn into George Floyd.
That and much more coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. U.S. Senator Joe Manchin hosted a virtual listening session Friday evening with Reverend Ronald English and other Black faith leaders across West Virginia. Glennis Board has this report from the first of a planned series of discussions called From Hurt to Healing.
Senator Manchin began the online forum quoting Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who said riots are the language of the unheard. Manchin called for unity and compassion to address systemic racism throughout the state and nation.
You don't care about the color of a person's skin when you're 1,000 feet underground in the coal mine. You care about who they are at their core, because that person will help you come home alive to your family.
Pastor of the First Baptist Church in Charleston from 1972 to 1993, Reverend Ronald English offered thoughts throughout the virtual listening session. English, who was mentored by King, said moving toward a more equitable future would require learning to acknowledge racism where it exists, both consciously and subconsciously. He also noted that he was encouraged by youth leadership on display at protest events throughout the country.
We did not know that kind of leadership capacity was among us until it showed up in this way. And I think that we have found a fertile ground for further leadership advancement and leadership recruitment of the midst of those who have come forward.
English also pointed to the coronavirus as a component of civil unrest throughout the nation.
I think that it is by providential design that all of these events came together at the same time to alert our attention and to stir us from heart, not just from head, in terms of how we move forward.
West Virginians asked questions for English and other faith leaders to consider. Participants discussed issues such as how to overcome racism when faced with racist leadership and passed ideas around about the need for transparency and accountability. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glennis Board in Wheeling.
The full hour-long From Hurt to Healing discussion hosted by Senator Manchin and Reverend English is posted online. Find out more at wvpublic.org. A protest in Charleston Sunday calling for an end to police brutality against Black people was postponed due to safety concerns. According to organizers, threats were made against the event, which was expected to attract thousands. A small crowd still gathered at the Capitol grounds Sunday for a peaceful protest. Another event on Charleston's west side went ahead as planned. About 100 people gathered in front of Dem Two Brothers Barbecue Restaurant Sunday. The West Side protest is part of an ongoing demonstration that's taken place daily for the past week. 19-year-old Kaylin Wills is one of the organizers.
Well, honestly, I've always been really passionate about Black Lives Matter. When I feel like I was probably 12 or around there when Trayvon Martin died, but I was so young I couldn't ever do anything. I couldn't ever be heard.
Will said the protests she's helped organize have continued to gain momentum each day. She says threats against the protesters are concerning, but they haven't stopped people from gathering.
But ever since the second day when a lot of people started coming out, we had threats every single day. People said, oh, we're going to hit you with our car. Oh, if we see you, we're going to shoot you. Like, same things like that.
The mood at the protest on Charleston's west side was celebratory. Music played and some families with small children participated. A continuous stream of people in cars honked as they drove by to show support of racial equality. Protesters gathered in Bluefield, Mercer County this weekend, joining hundreds of thousands worldwide who are rallying to oppose police brutality against Black people. Protesters say they marched to remember recent Black deaths, but also for a local Black man, Robert Ellison, who was paralyzed after an encounter with police in the late 90s. Emily Allen has more.
In 1998, police dragged and beat a black man in Bluefield, paralyzing him below the neck for 5 years before he ultimately died in 2002. That man was Robert Ellison. More than 20 years later, a crowd of 150 or so protesters wore Ellison's name on the back of their shirts. They shouted his name, calling on his memory, along with that of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. A black man and a black woman who have died within the last couple of months at the hands of police in other states.
We're not powerless people, even though events like this make us feel like it.
This is Shakira Irvin, who lives in Bluefield. She helped organize the protest on Saturday.
When we come together, we realize we're not just coming together in anger, not just in disappointment, but we're coming together in power.
We have it in our power right now to change policy. We have it in our power right now to hold people accountable.
After Ellison's encounter with police, the city created a Citizens Review Board for Police Matters. The board in Bluefield is one of only a few in the state today. Randolph Phillips, who was at Saturday's rally, is on that board.
It works fairly well as far as keeping them accountable to what happens.
Phillips was appointed a few years ago after retiring from the Virginia Department of Corrections. He says the board considers about 4 to 5 reported cases a year.
I think the major thing that any city, any area needs to do is to hold the police accountable for what they do. Because they're the example that the public sees every day. They should live up to those standards of who they are. And we should hold them accountable for who they are.
Even though there has been some steps in the right direction, protest organizer Irvin says there are still some shortfalls. She wishes the board had more teeth. Right now, they're only an advisory group. They can request action, but they can't enforce it. That, and Irvin says, not everyone in Bluefield is aware of the board.
I don't think all the citizens who need to know about that know about it. I don't think they know how to make that mechanism work for them. So we want to educate on that.
Saturday's event was about more than Ellison, recent deaths, and police. After marching half a mile from the Mount Zion Baptist Church to the former Big Whiskey Barbecue restaurant downtown, speakers addressed the crowd about voting and the census.
Also, please make sure that you are counted in the census.
This is April Burroughs, another organizer.
Without the census, without being counted, we will not have funding brought to our area.
Burroughs lives in Huntington now, but grew up in the Bluefield area. She was a junior in high school when police hurt Ellison.
It was an awful, awful, awful situation, and it was police brutality at that point.
Burroughs was at a protest in Huntington last weekend.
I went home and I realized that I needed to come home to do something. I realized that maybe some of the light needed to be brought to where I'm from to bring a sense of unity to the community that I grew up in.
Many of the people who gathered Saturday traveled home from elsewhere. That includes Kashayla Collins, a black woman who grew up in Bluefield.
I'm out here marching for the future. I want to make sure that my kids don't turn into George Floyd.
She and her two young sons, Kayvon and Khalil, traveled from Augusta, Georgia. Collins says she's been marching there, but the rally in Bluefield was a first for her two boys.
But it's the children right now that we have to represent for. And so I want them to look at me and be like, my mommy stood up for something. And it's important that they see us standing up for them, because at 5 and 8 year old, they don't have the voice or even the mental capacity to always understand the injustice that's occurring. But I want them to know when they get older, they'll remember.
A few blocks from the rally, a black father stands outside, also wanting a better future for his kids and the kids in his community. He did not attend the protest.
My name's Kevin Ross. I'm a detective at Bluefield Police Department.
Ross also grew up in the area in McDowell County. Like protesters, he agrees there's a need for change, which is why he says he joined the police department.
You sit around here and you listen to people talk about the police this, the police that, and, oh, I wish this would change, I wish that would stop, but you don't see them putting applications in nowhere. I mean, that was my reason for doing it.
While Ross did not participate in the protest, he says he was within earshot.
I listened to a lot of it as it was going on, and there were some good points. Hopefully things will change. But at the same time, we have to come together for it to change.
Ross says some crimes are racially motivated, and some aren't. He tries not to see color, he says. A bigger problem to him is his community's struggle with substance abuse.
I mean, I've got kids growing up. I got partners who's got kids growing up. I know other kids growing up. And you want to do what you can, do your part to make the world a safer place.
Protests continue to happen throughout the Mountain State. On Tuesday, hundreds gathered in Morgantown. On Sunday, community members gathered for a couple of events in Charleston and one protest in Princeton. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Allen.
Many people watched a video taken in Central Park late last month in shock and disgust. A white woman called the police on a black birder who tried to get her to leash her dog. The Allegheny Front's Julie Grant reports the incident sparked an online action that's bringing joy to many Black Birders Week.
Monique Pipkin studies birds for the PhD she's working on at Cornell University. So when she saw a call for black birders to post a bird photo, she chose the chipping sparrow.
That's the animal I learned kind of how to bird with. And they're these tiny little sparrows who have this lovely trill song, so it's a single note repeated.
Chuita Martinez, a PhD student at University of Louisiana, helped organize hashtag Black Birders Week on Twitter and Instagram. She tweeted the northern mockingbird.
Most people sometimes find them annoying. I think they're really cool.
It was one of a handful of photos she posted of what she calls backyard birds.
Just to show everyone out there, especially black birders that are just beginning, you can probably find these birds or see them around very easily.
Event co-organizer Tyke James says as a kid in Philadelphia, his friends couldn't understand why he would get up early on weekends to go bird watching. But he remembers the thrill of seeing a bird he'd studied in a book out in nature.
And I see a belted kingfisher, a female sitting on a cattail, then swoops across Cobbs Creek and, you know, makes that call that, you know, it's always going to be etched in my mind. And I was just so present in that moment that something that was on paper turned into something real.
But James wasn't surprised by the video in Central Park of a white woman calling the police on a black birder.
When I first saw it, honestly, it was just another video in the long list of videos of white people entitlement weaponizing police brutality to manage an inconvenience in their life that involves a person of color.
James says Black Birders Week was conceived when a group called Black AF in STEM was talking online about it.
I initially didn't even watch the whole video because I knew exactly how it was going to end. I was wrong. It led into Black Birders Week.
The week has included black birders posting photos of themselves in nature, a Twitter chat called Ask a Black Birder, a day to highlight female birders, and a live discussion called Birding While Black on Facebook, hosted by the National Audubon Society, where James works. Chuita Martinez is amazed at how much attention they're getting.
I could never have imagined this. I don't think any of us could have. This was something that was needed, and really the support means everything to all of us.
Most images of birders and others in nature online are older white people and children. Martinez hopes Black Birders Week will help normalize images of black people in the outdoors. She says for a black woman, getting ready to go out birding can take a lot of effort.
I have to look like a birder, 100%. I make sure I have either a field guide in my hand of birds, just so people can see that I'm just here to bird. I'm not here to do anything else.
Martinez remembers being purposely splashed by a passing truck, and others say they mostly bird in urban areas and with white friends to avoid confrontation with people who might feel uncomfortable with a black birder. Monique Pipkin says she's only been able to go birding with other black people once in her life.
Just being able to see all of the amazing black naturalists, black biologists out there, or just black birders, or anyone who's spending time in nature is, I don't know how to say it, it's just besides it's affirming and it's exhilarating and it's really comforting.
And honestly, we didn't pick our moment, but we are rising to the occasion.
Tyke James says the group effort to quickly put together Black Birders Week has meant a lot of long nights. He hopes it sets a precedent for future generations. Not just that everyone has a place outdoors, but also that they can work together toward positive change.
I haven't had something in my life that has been so fulfilling and that I can put so much of my energy into and get so much joy out of it. We were talking on one of the calls that we were just like, I am exhausted, but I will not stop smiling.
For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Brittany Patterson produces our show. Our news director is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.